Business Insight, a weekly program of interviews and insights from some of the island's most respected business leaders on what drives their success.
Hello, welcome to Business Insight. Brandon Langdon here, and I'm joined, as always, with Dale Howarth. How are you doing, Dale?
I'm not so bad at all. How are you, Brandon?
I'm fine, just in that buzzy mood of a Monday evening with horrible weather.
I loved your weather coverage earlier as you looked out the window and realised that the BBC were lying to us all.
Yeah, well, they say, oh, it's overcast, but it's not. It's raining outside. It's horrible. It's still raining now. How was your weekend, Ben?
It's very, very good. Yeah, flew by very quickly.
Yeah, same here, yeah. And as always, you are joined with a quote, aren't you?
Yes, indeed. Yes, kicking off the quote, as listeners will know, the quote really sort of ties in with the guest, a special guest on tonight's show I'll introduce in a moment. The quote comes from Sir Brian Appleton, quote he said after the Piper Alpha disaster. Those of you who remember, Piper Alpha was a North Sea production platform destroyed back on July the 6th in 1988, killing 167 men, and there were only 61 survivors. So a bit of a disaster. And the quote from Sir Brian was, "Safety is not an intellectual exercise to keep us in work. It is a matter of life and death. It is the sum of our contributions to safety management that determines whether the people we work with live or die." A serious quote and a very serious accident. And it leads us into a company that's serious about business, which is Seasafe Systems in Cowes here on the Isle of Wight. And I've got with me Wendy Wilmot tonight of Seasafe Systems. Wendy's someone I've known for a little bit of time, various events that I've certainly attended, and she's a big contributor of Seasafe R2 business networking and a lot of things that are going on out there. And Wendy, I met most recently at a Cowes Business Association event where she started to talk a little about social media and some of what they're doing on social media at Seasafe. And it struck a chord, and of course social media has been a subject that we've covered more than once on Business Insight, so it seemed right to bring Wendy on to talk about that, but talk about a lot more about Seasafe Systems. So good evening, Wendy.
Good evening.
And could you just take a minute just to introduce yourself and Seasafe Systems, please?
Yeah, certainly. Thanks for inviting me, Dale and Brandon.
Pleasure.
I'm the Business Development Manager and I work for Seasafe Systems. We're based at Somerton Industrial Estate at Cowes. I always say that we're close by to Aldi, the new Aldi store, and the Park and Ride. We were established in 1966 and we're specialists in marine safety clothing and marine safety products, and probably best known for the coat with an integrated life jacket used by marine pilots worldwide.
Right. In terms of Seasafe, Wendy, I think you've been there about 3 years now.
Yes, that's right, Dale.
And before that?
Before that, I worked for the UK Harbour Masters Association, and before that, I worked for a publication called Maritime Journal for the commercial marine marketplace. I never dreamt that I would ever get involved with tugboats, diesel engines, cranes, davits and safety products, but it's a brilliant industry, and I just love the commercial marine marketplace. So friendly, so innovative. And just a really good place to work, really.
Yeah, and I know you get a buzz from what you do. I appreciate people can't see it too much on radio, but certainly Wendy's one of those bubbly people in life and seems to go through it with a smile on her face. I know she's enjoying certainly what she's doing. How many people are you being employed over there at Seasafe?
We employ 15 staff at the factory.
And it's 8,000 square feet, so quite a good size facility.
Yeah, 8,000. We started off at Birmingham Road, but quickly outgrew that with our manufacturing. So we moved to larger premises back in 2006. But we still seem to be expanding, and we're having to build extra mezzanine floors and all sorts of things at the moment for our different product ranges. And we feel like we're kind of actually outgrowing that one as well.
Right. So business is good. What's driving that growth?
I think just a real general awareness now of being safe. And I think your quote there just really hits a chord as well. Safety management is about life and death. And I think people are realising now when they're on the water that they really do need to look after themselves. And just with some of the products that we've innovated and brought in and are further developing, then people just realise that they need these types of products, and we just seem to have got busier and busier as the years have gone on.
Right, but still a very competitive marketplace?
Yes, extremely competitive. Been lots of changes just recently in the life jacket marketplace. A lot of companies have been swallowed up into one large conglomerate, but it's quite nice for us because from that we're going to be able to sort of mop up the fact that people want to deal with a smaller family-run company. And we're hoping, and we're already starting to see that it's giving us lots of opportunities to sort of really, you know, sort of sell ourselves out there again.
Right. So as you said there, I mean, established nearly 50 years now. I think next year will be your 50th anniversary.
Yes,
back
that's
to
right.
1966. Yep. Family run business.
Yep. Family run, husband and wife business. And I work for Jeremy and Jill Dale.
Right. And obviously still independent.
Yes. Yeah.
And finding that as giving you a bit of a USP against others?
Yes, yeah, very much so. Yeah, very much so. And that's reflected back into the way we manufacture as well. We offer bespoke sort of one-off services to people. We're not a huge, massive manufacturer, and I don't think we could ever really cope with that, to be honest. But we like to pride ourselves on offering a bespoke handmade service and doing one-offs rather than big batch runs, which makes everything very accountable for what we do at Seasafe.
Yeah, and of course you can't afford to get it wrong because lives are at stake.
Yeah.
In terms of that manufacturing capability, literally it's end to end, so it's from the original design right through to final manufacture, production, distribution, the whole.
Yeah, that's right. Packet. Yeah, yeah. We source all our materials. We go through all the approvals that are needed for any of our products. And everything is made in Cowes, and we're very proud of the fact that we're a British company, and that everything is made and, say, bespoke made on the island.
And I see it's a big product range, isn't it? I mean, you've got things like builder coat on there, life jackets, but then things people wouldn't normally associate with that, life rafts. I saw on there marine safety, things like harnesses, guards.
Yeah, what we like to do is we like to be a one-stop shop. We don't manufacture life rafts, but if somebody's coming to us for their garments and their clothing and their safety equipment and they need a life raft on their vessel, then we try to be that one-stop shop for them so that they don't have to go around to lots and lots of different suppliers and make lots of different phone calls so that we can source those products for them. A lot of commercial vessels have to adhere to MCA category coding, for example, code 2, code 3. So they come to us with a shopping list of products, some of which obviously we manufacture ourselves. But then, as I say, we like to be the one-stop shop so that we can just supply everything for them. And they're just making the one phone call with their shopping list and we can supply their shopping list for them.
And in terms of those customers, global?
Predominantly UK, but we do deal with global customers. Certainly, we're global with regards to the products we manufacture ourselves. Not so much on the life raft side of things or associated products, but with the products that we manufacture ourselves, which are our coats with integrated life jackets, then yes, very much global.
Yeah, and I also see you talked about unusual sort of one-off designs. I think one of those that certainly got my attention and did a lot of others was a tweed life jacket.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, how did that come about?
Oh my, that certainly did get a lot of attention. Somebody approached us and just sort of made a very tongue-in-cheek comment about could we make a tweed life jacket? And this was a couple of years ago, and at that point we weren't in the position to do it. But then we readdressed it just recently. Somebody sent us in just under a metre of their own tweed material, and we made up a life jacket into their material. And then we decided then to bring in our own Harris tweed material. Have that as a stock item. Dale, I know we're going to talk about social media, but a really funny story was that I put a picture out of our tweed life jacket on Twitter, and it just the retweets it got on it were absolutely incredible, and they went as far away as France, with people saying only the British could think of that and only the British could do that. So yeah, it did cause quite a stir, our tweed material.
Gosh,
popular. And,
yeah,
very popular.
It is. And of course, last week's show, we had Chris Court on, a really popular guest, and talked a lot about social media. And one of the questions that came through time and time again last week was, you know, how can you show that social media really delivers business benefit? But you saw it through that particular product.
Yes, definitely.
The level of interest you had, the number of people retweeting. Did it materialise in orders, in inquiries? You actually seen people coming through looking for some of these more unusual designs to try and buy tweed life jackets?
Yeah, most definitely. Like any marketing, we all know that sometimes it's very hard to gauge where your business comes from. But when people sort of relate directly to that, then you know that it came from that particular tweet that went out. I know that we've had real, I always say we've had real serious pound notes business from Twitter, because we have. We've made a lot of new friends through Twitter, but I know for a fact that some of the people that have come through social media that would never have known about us had we not been on Twitter, and we've done life jackets. We did a crop of life jackets for a marina in Barcelona, all embroidered with their logo, and I know full well that they would not have been able to have found us if they didn't find us on Twitter and saw the things that we were putting out on there.
So how much time are you spending on the likes of Twitter and social media feeds? Is it taking up a lot of time to get the content out there?
I don't think it takes up that amount of time. At the end of the day, you're master of your own destiny, really, with Twitter. You can sit on there all day long if you want to, but actually that's not very beneficial to you. But I tend to sort of hop in and out of Twitter, and if I see things that have come up that people have put on there or people have retweeted, then I'll go and dip into Twitter and perhaps spend 10 or 15 minutes there. But no, I don't sit on there all day long. I'm too, unfortunately too busy to do that all day on Twitter.
So would you say you're quite targeted with what you're putting out on social media, rather than just throwing out a lot of content? You're considering what you put out in advance?
And yeah, I do. I consider very much what I put out. And again, just going back to your quote, at the end of the day, we're a safety company, and I never, ever forget that. And I try to put some real strong messages out there about why it's important to wear certain things on your life jacket. So, for example, wearing your crotch strap, why it's important on your life jacket, and why it's important to always wear a life jacket as well. But I try and balance my Twitter with things that I think are interesting. So I do a lot of retweeting for things that are interesting, or connected perhaps around the RNLI, of things that they're doing, or open days at marinas. And then I also do try and keep it quite lighthearted, because I want people to take an active interest in what we're doing. So, yes, I do resort to funny animal pictures occasionally and funny quotes. But I've had so many people that say to me, "We really love your Twitter account, Wendy, you know, because it's such a balance and such a mix of, you know, sensible and sense of and safety type things, but you know, with a smile as well, and you know, with a slightly light-hearted touch to it sometimes."
Yeah, and of course, in terms of social media, I know you're passionate about social media, certainly on Twitter. I know recently at a Cows Business Association event, you kindly put together a sort of crib sheet, really, on some of the key terminology around Twitter, so people could understand what hashtagging meant and so on. And I think that was very useful. And I think you're going back to do a more formal presentation to business groups.
Yes, I seem to have developed another hat, really, and this is what I said at Cows Business Association. I have to say that before I joined CSAFE, I didn't know a thing about social media, apart from sort of what I'd seen that was perhaps somewhat negative about Facebook and Twitter. And then I was asked to take over the CSAFE Twitter account, so went into it with some trepidation. But as I say, I've never realised how good it can be, how good it is for a business as well. A couple of people have said to me, "Oh goodness, Wendy, you're a real Twitter guru," and I don't know if I like that tag or not as a guru. But
you probably learned the hard way.
Yeah, I just kind of know what I've learned, really. I enjoy what I do, and I speak about it with real passion. You know, a few people at Cows Business Association have now said to me, "You know, could you come along and do a presentation?" And I did a presentation to a group of bookkeepers just recently, just to explain what Twitter was all about, and just wrote down a few sort of like hints and tips about Twitter, and it just all went down really well. And as I say, I got tagged with, "Well, you're our Twitter guru now, Wendy."
Right. And when is the presentation, do you think, to Cows Business Association?
And that's in September. That's at one of the breakfast meetings. Right. I can't remember the actual date, but I do know it's in September.
But anyone that wants to find out more can obviously contact Cows Business Association. I think Sue Cox.
Yes.
Very active with that, and can certainly find out more on that, whether you're a member of the business association or not. Obviously, Twitter, social media is just one channel in terms of your marketing. What else are you using to deliver that CSAFE message out there?
We've got our website. Again, it's all part and parcel of your marketing package that you need to have these days. We've got our website, but we also just recently produced a catalogue, which is the first one that we've done in 23 years. I'm quite proud of that, because that showcases all our product range. And again, one of the things I've sort of said on that is I never realised how much you needed to proofread something like a catalogue. I always thought I was a really good wordsmith, but my goodness me, the amount of times we proofread that before it actually went to print. Just recently put the catalogue out. And we've also got some more domain names on our websites that are relevant to our products, such as Life Jacket Servicing, because that's a pertinent part of our company, and a product called Hypo Hoist for rescuing a casualty that's gone overboard. So we've bought up a lot of domain names that are very, very relevant now to our business.
And are those feeding into direct landing pages for those products on the main website?
They're websites in their own right.
Right, so they're standalone websites, yeah, focusing on that particular product or service.
Yeah.
Right. And do they ultimately link back to your main website as well?
They link back to the main website,
if people are looking to purchase and so on. So obviously social media website you touched on, which is csafe.co.uk, if anyone wants to go and have a look. Obviously a few other names you've mentioned there. Exhibitions and events. I know you've just come back from SeaWork in Southampton. Good event for you?
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. We've been there since day one. SeaWork started off at Port Solent many, many years ago, I think about 15, 16 years ago. And because of my background as well, when I work for Maritime Journal, it's quite interesting that I was part of the organising crew for SeaWork, and now being with SeaSafe, I'm the other side of the desk and I'm one of the exhibitors there. So that's sort of quite an interesting, the way it's all turned around now.
And how long was the SeaWork show? How many days was that over?
SeaWork was for 3 days.
Right, hard work.
Extremely hard work. Anybody that says exhibitions are glamorous has never done one, I can assure you.
Absolutely, I'd agree with you on that one. They are very, very hard work, certainly if you do them right. I think November you've got another event coming up.
Yeah, this is going to be a really interesting one. It's a massive exhibition. It's Metz in Amsterdam. That's a 3 to 4 day event as well, and that's for the commercial and recreational marine marketplace, and that's really going to take a toll on my feet, I know that. But it's going to be very, very beneficial for us, and it's a very big showcase for worldwide marine companies to be there and marine customers. So yeah, really looking forward to that one actually.
Right. So we've got website, we've got social media, we've talked there about the new catalogue. If people want to get a copy of the new catalogue, again, just go to the website.
Yeah, go to the website. We've also got a blog as well, which is csafeblog.co.uk. And we've got one of the, I always call it a flicky book. We've got one of the little books that you just go on to where you can flick the pages over, so you don't even actually physically have to get a catalogue. You can just go on to the blog and see it online and have a look through and see what we do.
Yeah. And in terms of the existing base, obviously they're keeping up to date on what you're doing through the likes of Twitter. Some of them will no doubt attend the events that you're exhibiting at. Outside of that, what are the things you're doing to build affinity? E-marketing, telemarketing, what are you doing that's driving repeat business, recommendations, referrals from the existing base?
Yeah, I think any company really has to look at all aspects of marketing these days. You've got to look at what works, you've got to look at what doesn't work, and never ever send it to the back burner, but just maybe perhaps just not do that. If it's something that you feel isn't working, then just bring it back perhaps later in a different format. The other thing that I really like an awful lot, we like things that are free at CSA, things
who
that we
doesn't?
Don't have to pay
yeah,
for.
Who doesn't?
But the other thing that I really like a lot is MailChimp, which is an email marketing program. Very, very simple. You just go into it and just set up some very, very simple templates. I try and keep a very similar format on that, but I've got lots of different databases that I market out and try and market out at least once a month for something that may be of interest to that particular database. And what's always really interesting with MailChimp is if you mail out about a specific product, you may not necessarily take orders for that product, but what it does do is it generates a whole crop of phone calls from people asking about different products. And I think what it does is it just pings their memory to say, CSafe, do you know what? I meant to phone those and I've forgotten all about it.
Yeah, developing some mind share amongst people.
Yeah, definitely.
And obviously MailChimp servicing you very well, a very well respected application there for certainly e-marketing. I know networking is very much part of what you do. I've seen you at a number of business events. You're obviously quite active with Cowes Chamber. And I know as an organisation, being members of the Chamber of Commerce now for some 15 years.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, how do you approach that networking? A lot of people go to networking, feel it doesn't work for them very often because they don't do it with any frequency. But what have you found from your networking activities? What's that brought to you and CSAF?
I find that just really meeting different people. I think the biggest thing for us as a company, even though we've been in Cowes now for many years, there's a lot of people still say to us, I didn't know you were there. I didn't know you did those sorts of products. And I think that's where network really, really kicks in, because you get a chance to meet people from other organisations there who may not be aware of what you're doing, and you're not aware of what they're doing either. And certainly with Cowes Business Association, again, got lots of friends now and lots of customers that we possibly may not have had before. And I just think it's really important that you go and you explain what you do. You meet up with people, you meet them on a slightly social basis as well. You perhaps have a cup of coffee, a breakfast with them. And just really, you know, just get to know them and just be friends with people. You know, at the end of the day, this is a small island, and just be friendly with people and let them know exactly what it is that your business offers the island.
Yeah, and obviously from a business point of view, so you're meeting up with good people, like-minded people, maybe getting new ideas, meeting businesses that may potentially be suppliers to the business, because
yes,
you're
indeed.
Obviously buying goods and services locally. I'm sure because, you know, we are on an island, I'm sure it must drive some degree of business from people that you're touching base with. And then broader than that, of course, if you get more and more involved, things like awards come forward. I know in terms of that, the Hyperhoist Man Overboard system is in itself award-winning. And I know Jeremy Dale was nominated as a finalist for the ICMS Maritime Professional of the Year.
Yeah.
So certainly recognition's coming through from the business as well after all these years.
Yeah, no, that's right.
Yeah. Anything special being lined up for the 50 years anniversary next year? Surely you must be doing something.
Oh, yes. We've got lots of things lined up. I would like to do a timeline on CSAFE's website. You see lots of different timelines. There's one on a church in Yarmouth, which is absolutely brilliant. The amount of people that stand there just reading it, you know, about what happened, about things in history and how it actually relates back to the church. And, you know, we've been around 50 years, so a lot's happened in that 50 years. A lot's happened to CSAFE, and a lot's happened in the safety world. We've driven a lot of what's happened in the safety world as well. So I just think it'd be really good to do some sort of timeline on our website for people to read. But, yeah, there will be lots of celebrations. You know, we're very keen to say to people we have been around for 50 years. It's quite an achievement. And again, going back to your quote at the beginning, we know we've saved countless people's lives by using our products and our coats with integrated life jackets. And we know that many pilots, marine pilots that have used our coats, will be very happy to testify to that as well. And we'd like to sort of invite them back at some point and say, well, you know, you're still around. And you know, at the end of the day, it was because of us and the coat, the garment that you were wearing. And I know that they'd be very, very proud and pleased to come and, you know, to talk about their experiences with us again.
And do you get that feedback from users of your products where it has helped to save a life?
Yeah,
do you get those real stories coming back from people?
Yeah, very much so. I always remember the very first SeaWork exhibition that I did for CSAFE, and a pilot just coming up and shaking my hand saying, it's really nice to meet you, Wendy. You've joined an amazing company. And if you ever need anybody to give a testimonial about your products, here's my telephone number. You just call me up and I'll talk to them on the phone. I'll go and meet them because you saved my life because of your coats. And I was so touched. I had a real lump in my throat, and it really stuck with me, sort of what he'd said. And you know, I think we forget sometimes. We just go about our business and we manufacture life jackets. We manufacture coats with life jackets. And I think we forget sometimes as a company just what sort of service that we are providing.
Yeah, and the very human side of that
very
as
much
well.
So.
Obviously, based on the Isle of Wight, it is an island. How do you find doing business on the island? Do you find any particular benefits or any particular issues around doing business on the island?
It certainly doesn't stop us. Sometimes, you know, you get people say, what is it like to do business? You know, sometimes you have the situation where people don't want to deliver to you because they think you're an offshore island somewhere, and you just say, no, actually, we're a PO postcode. You can deliver to us. But we've got a very, very loyal workforce on the island. Most of our staff have been with us in excess of 20 years. And of the 15 staff, 14 are island people. And the one that isn't an island person, he's been with the company over 20 years. And we couldn't do without Keith. He's our factory manager. I just find that with the workforce, they're all very, very loyal on the island, and I don't think it's ever impeded us that we're on the Isle of Wight. We're not seen as you know, a company that you can't do business with, and I don't think it's ever really sort of stopped us or hindered us at all.
No, and I think the point you raise about workforce is good. I mean, there is some great skilled people on there, and there's a lot of talent in the workforce on the island. As you say, you know, good businesses like SeaSafe, you know, can not only attract but keep good quality people, and that can only be to the benefit of the business and to the products that they make.
Indeed.
And certainly, as you say, you know, getting things on and off the island is sometimes a little bit of education for couriers in particular, to realise that it's not the other side of the world.
Yeah.
It is just a PO postcode. And also, the island is the home of sailing, of course, with cows. So very synonymous with what you actually do as a business.
Yeah.
And I think you can trade off that. Anything planned for Cows Week? Because that's not too far away now. Do you get involved in Cows Week as a business?
We do get involved. It's not a major part, I have to say, although there's a lot of people sailing.
A lot of sailors coming
Cows
over.
Cows Week, yep. Yeah, it's not a major part. It would be lovely to think, absolutely lovely, to think that all those Cows Week sailors would take a trip up to the factory, take a look round and decide that they want to buy one of our coats with life jacket in, or just a straightforward life jacket. But it doesn't happen like that. Probably the main sort of thrust of Cows Week is people phoning us up in a real panic, saying, my life jacket's just gone off. Can you help me rearm it? Can you supply me the kit? Because I'm back out sailing in 6 hours' time tomorrow. And right. I need my life jacket to be able to function if needs be.
Right, okay. Obviously time's getting short, so much more that we could cover, but we've covered a lot already. If people want to find out more about SeaSafe, what's the best way for them to get in touch?
Lots and lots of different ways. Phone us on 01983 282 388. Our website is all the W's, seasafe.co.uk. Twitter, of course, you knew I was going to say that. Our Twitter name is at SeaSafe Systems, and we're on Facebook. And just really, just sort of however, you know, whatever conventional method you want to contact us, we're there at the end of the phone, or either online on our website. I'll send you a catalogue if you like, if you let me know your details. All the conventional ways of contacting us.
Excellent. Thank you so much for that, Wendy. I'm going to pass you back to Brandon now, who's going to touch on next week. Really special guest next week. Very excited to have this person on the show. And then I know we've got a very interesting song choice at the end of the show from Wendy to play out. Brandon.
Okay, the next Business Insight feature is on Monday, the 27th of July, with Jeff Underwood, founder and managing director of InFlight Peripherals. Glad I said that correctly.
Yeah, very, very well done. And a great business doing terrific things at the moment.
Yeah,
and,
definitely.
Very, very big in the aerospace IFE sector. So looking forward to Jeff coming in. Really interesting background to that business. Really interesting man. Got a lot of insight for us. Going to help a lot of businesses.
Yeah, so Wendy, you've picked an amazing song. I have to admit, it's a good choice of song. Can you give us a little detail on it? Like, why did you pick it?
Why certainly. The
song?
Yeah, I am a huge Michael Jackson fan. I go to all the tribute concerts, and I can always be seen up the front dancing. I hate to admit that, but I can. But the song I've picked is Man in the Mirror. The reason I picked that is I just think the lyrics just about sum up everything. I suppose it should be Woman in the Mirror for me. But it just about sums up everything in life and business. Is that if you, and this is kind of taken from the lyrics, is basically if you want to make a change, just take a look at the person in the mirror and change that person first, and use that ethic really with business. Don't sit there and think that you can't make any differences or any changes. You can. Just take a look at yourself first. And then make those changes. And I employ that very much in my personal life as well.
Brilliant. Yeah, excellent. Definitely. Excellent. Okay, well, here it is. Michael Jackson, Man in the Mirror. Thank you, Dale.
Thank you,
Wendy.
Thanks.
See you later.
Thank you.
I'm gonna make a change for once in my life. It's gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. gonna make it right. And as I turned up the collar on my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street, but not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them eat? A summer's disregard, a broken bottle top, and one man's soul. They follow each other on the wind, you know, 'cause they got nowhere to go. That's why no one yet to know. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways, and no message could have been any clearer. If you wanna make the world a better place, take a look at yourself, then make a change.
Insight is brought to you by Jigsaw Sales and Marketing Consultants, driving business success.